All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grim Interviews. I've got Revy here. He said he had some things that he wanted to talk about, and of course, there's always new things going on in the field of robotics or some questions that people have about robotics, and I always want to get his perspective on it. You know, being that he's the guy that works in that field and I don't, it's better to, you know, go with somebody that has an expertise. And recently, one of the things I did want to talk about, Sandman. Sandman's been going crazy with all these videos about how we're going to have cyber waifus and how AI is going to replace dating coaches and all this other stuff, which it is just kind of different for him. And so what do you think about all that, Revy?
Yeah, I didn't have anything specific on it to talk about. I just wanted to chill. Let's see. Do you have a specific thing you'd like me to talk about? I've watched some of Sandman's more recent videos, but I guess I need a more concrete question.
Well, the problem with Sandman is he's kind of... I think there's almost a romance... There's like a romancing of the Blade Runner anime-style waifu thing that just guys think is going to happen 5 years from now. They think we're just going to have the anime-level robot waifus. And I keep telling them, I mean, the technology might be there, or it might actually be getting a little bit close to that, but we're not going to see that for, like you said, at least 100 years or more. So, what
I mean, it depends on which... Like, specifically, what do you mean by, like, Blade? Yeah, you said Blade Runner style waifu. We're talking about, like, basically androids.
Yes, we're talking about,
like, Final Fantasy stuff.
Yeah. Like, the robot waifu characters that you see in anime. Those kind of characters. That's what they want. And I've actually talked to game developers. There was a game developer that said he wants a robot waifu. He doesn't want a wife. He wants a like, just straight up admitted. I'm like, okay. It's like, and of course, I told him the information that you told me, you know, that it's not going to be just right away. And you said that, in our, I think our first interview, that the VR or the augmented reality thing seems more like it would kind of emulate that. It's not going to be like a robot, but it'll be realistic enough that you can... I mean, tell me if I'm getting things wrong. If I am, you know, let me know here, but that's just kind
of... Yeah, have you talked about what the really long emails I sent you, or
yeah,
if you haven't, I'm just going to go over them.
Oh, no, go over those really... go.
You're done with that. I have a viability question based on my own thoughts.
Okay, just let him go ahead and read the long email, since I think that's the best way to get it.
Yeah, all right. So you sent me a question that was basically how long until we have robo waifus, basically.
Yes.
And I guess I'm different than most people you ask this question to, because most people you ask this question to, they're just going to speculate, whereas... As an engineer, I'm taking this from the point of somebody has come to me and has offered me money to build a robot waifu. And my job, I'm basically doing my job as a robotics consultant.
Right.
So I, by instinct, what I did was I identified the most practical and feasible method to build a robot waifu. And, so firstly, I need to separate between physical waifus and AR stuff. Like, AR stuff is, like, augmented reality, like, what do you call it, like, the Blade Runner thing?
Yeah.
Where you have it's pure virtual or maybe a hologram? That's pretty... I don't want to say that. That's obviously much lower constraints. But you asked for a physical waifu. And so my instinct on that was to remove the battery and so have the waifu is going to be tethered. Because you're going to have a cable attached to it. That removes the need for me to put a battery in her, which makes the whole thing a lot easier. And I also said that she's not going to be able to walk on her own.
Okay.
And that greatly reduces the number of balance algorithms needed. It reduces the maximum strength of the motors needed. And so she can move, she can make gestures, she can look around, she can make motions, And, you know, we'll equip her with a spinning mobile pussy. So you get the action there. Right? Right. Maybe a vacuum or whatever, for blowjobs, whatever. But she can't lift her own weight. Okay. Is the key to that. So number one, she doesn't have the batteries in her. She's got a cable, so that way the batteries come separately. And so she doesn't need to worry about the weight of the batteries. And secondly, she doesn't have to lift her own weight. But in fact, she doesn't walk. And I said that that's a fairly doable project. It's going to be kind of, I don't know if you can consider it expensive or not. I mean, I would be able to do that for about the price of a Tesla.
Okay.
Right. I can see, like, after profit, if you're about the price of a Tesla, which, you know, you can consider that expensive. You can consider that not too expensive. I don't know what your
perspective
on money is.
Right.
But I think that's a pretty reasonable price.
Right.
I can definitely see, like, hardcore people, like, that being affordable. So if you're really into the waifu life, like, that is pretty affordable, I think.
Yeah.
And...
Well,
like, I think if people have been spent that much on individual dolls, and when you add it together, it adds up to a Tesla.
Right.
So that was fairly doable. And then you specified, oh no, this has to be like a Fallout Sims type of stuff, which means she needs to be able to walk,
right.
And she needs to be able to, you know, balance. And I was like, that's way harder.
Yeah.
And like, even TFM has been like, oh, you can just, you take the Boston Dynamics stuff and you put it in a human frame, and then you make it smaller to fit in the frame so you can add a silicone outing to it. And then I'm like, no, that is, I'm looking at that and I would not take that contract no matter how much money you offered me, because I cannot think of a motor that has that level of power output that fits within a skinny girl skeleton.
Now, what if you use, like, weaker motors and stuff and made it to where she could only walk maybe 2 miles an hour, lift maybe 15 pounds so she could bring you a sandwich?
Well, it's not so much the, like, yeah, so she the weight that she's carrying doesn't matter. It's the weight of herself.
Yeah, right. The Japanese,
in other words, the answer is you've got to find a motor that can support the robot itself for a reasonable amount of time. And that's going to be relative to the person, right?
Well, not even that. You end up, like, as an engineer, I look at this and I'm like, okay, so she's got to have batteries. Batteries weigh a certain amount, right? The structure weighs a certain amount. But you have this other problem where if you want a more powerful motor, the more powerful motors weigh more. And they also consume more electricity, which means you need a bigger battery. And then there's also they also require more heat dissipation, which means you have to figure out some way of dissipating heat. Do you see how, like, it creates this endless cycle of, oh, it needs to be heavier?
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if you could put that in the female form or the male form for a robot.
Well, it depends on if she has to lift her own weight. If she has to lift her own weight, so then she has to lift the weight of the other motors. So if you make the motors more powerful, then you increase the number of the amount of weight that she has to lift. And so that's not possible. But if you have her sitting down, like in a wheelchair, right, and you've motorized the wheelchair, so she's basically a paraplegic, she's basically a paraplegic. She no longer needs to lift her own weight. She only needs to lift the weight of whatever is in her hands. And so her shoulder and mouth muscles need to be relatively strong because they have to lift the weight of the entire arm. But generally speaking, you can use much weaker motors. You can put the batteries in the chair. You can put a bunch of stuff in the chair. And so the maintenance becomes easier because you don't need to, like, if you're trying to access the cooling system or, like, the motors, you don't need to open up her body. You need to open up the chair. That's going to be much easier to open up. Right? So do you see how, like, her being sitting down in a, like, in a scooter, right, or like, and then tied to a scooter, so she doesn't have to walk. That eliminates that loop of we need more powerful motors, but then there's more weight that needs to be moved. Right.
Yeah, the Japanese already built these Orihime and Masahiro ones. I put them in the robot stuff channels. My thing is just wanting to make, like, robots in the same way that they're doing the hobbyist drones and stuff. Because a lot of the ones that they can, they use, like, foam body, very lightweight stuff. Masahiro and Orihime are two prominent Japanese robots that exist right now.
That's not the channel name, though.
Oh. Yeah, those are, like, it's like a waiter, right?
Yeah, it's like a little maid bot. My theory is the cheapest way to do it is make a thrift bot where you take, like, how big would you need a Raspberry Pi to hold the AI? Get one of those old boomer chairs, because those boomer wheelchairs can run for, like, 7 hours at 10 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour. And
you're a jitterbug.
300 pounds.
Right.
Yeah, so I actually thought of a funny idea.
A little platform that's almost like a... It's almost like one of those Segway things, but without the... the need for, like, a handle or something?
Yeah, so I'm looking at these maid robots, and if you notice, they don't have legs. They're on wheels. And anything that moves on wheels is super duper, like, easy. Because wheels are just more efficient than legs.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm starting to come
around on wheels. Wheels wasn't the way I wanted to do it, but it seems like it's going to be the most feasible. It just seems like it's going to be the most feasible. Regardless of what I saw on Boston Dynamics today and those robots just running and doing... I mean, I've seen the breakdance video, but I hadn't seen the running and the bending and all that kind of thing. But it's just going to be probably extremely expensive and take a lot more work to put something into, like, a humanoid robot than it would be to, you know, what Boston Dynamics is doing. Plus, those are military first before they'll even get to the civilian market.
Yeah. I would say that, like, I'm going to pretend that you paid me money to give you a consultant. I'm going to tell you, you take what you can get.
Yeah.
And what you can get is wheels.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Her wheelchair doesn't necessarily need to look like a wheelchair.
Okay.
I actually thought of this, and basically what you do is you'd have a wheelchair that basically it would be like, basically your waifu would be wearing a really big skirt.
Okay.
And then she would get on this chair, and she would control the chair, and her legs would lock into the chair, and then the skirt would carry her chair, so it looks like she's walking around, she's got this giant skirt. But in fact, it's
like
a wheelchair.
I'd like to point out that I thought of that in my head within the last 5 minutes, and I'm glad that he has proven my theory correct. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Revy.
I was wondering my project BFTT, or Big Fucking Tit Tank.
I'm an engineer in spirit.
Okay, guys, okay. Let's. All right, Revy, what else?
That's a compromise between... You want her without legs, so you get that physical appearance, but when she moves, she has to, like, have this skirt thing, and she has to appear like she doesn't have legs, so that she can, like, wheel around, and that's the compromise, right? It's a chair that looks like a skirt, basically.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think that's great. You get one of those old-fashioned long dresses. That's fine with me. I could do that.
Yeah, and you would want it still to be able to have, like, the knee joints. So maybe if it needs to, like, bend over to get to something, it could, like, kneel down if it needs to park in a closet and stuff.
Hmm.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. That's too much work. I give her hip joints anyways because she needs that for, like,
when you say too much work, like, how much work would something like that actually require? Like, how complicated is that sort of thing?
Well, like our theoretical waifu with a wheelchair?
No, the one where he was talking about it being able to bend down a little bit. Is that...
That'd be difficult, because once again you get into the area of she needs to lift her own weight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you notice, these robots, they don't bend at the waist. They only move their arms. So they can't pick up stuff that's on the ground?
No, it's too much. They have like these quote unquote leg joints that look like a collapsing microphone stand. That way they can go up.
That would be extremely difficult. I don't want to say that's impossible, but that would like double the complexity of the wheelchair thing.
Would I be able to trust these kind of robots to wash dishes or cook? I mean, is that like just too far?
That's what your dishwasher is for.
Yeah, well, true.
No, program a waifu.
I kind of agree with Revy on that one.
Yeah, it's like, at best, the waifu can load and unload your dishwasher.
That would be fine.
Yeah, like to be... Like, your waifu should be... Like, if you want something in the physical form of a human, they should be... It should be purely aesthetic.
Right.
Right? Like, I guess people don't appreciate how much of waifu-ness we've already automated. Like, so that includes, like, you have Roombas, you have dishwashers, you have laundry machines, you have dryers.
Yeah.
Right? Like, housework has pretty much mostly been automated.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, I was watching something on the Philippines. Of course, they said that a lot of the people there, they don't even buy a washer or dryer. So, that's something that a lot of people don't even realize and take for granted, that they have a washer and dryer. In some places, they don't.
Yeah, but that's... The people in the Philippines, correct me if I'm wrong, but the reason why they don't want to wash in a dryer is because the laundry, they have a very cheap laundry service.
Oh.
Because I've been to Southeast Asia. It's like, you don't, in Southeast Asia, mm-hmm. what you do is like, they have these people that you give them your clothes. It's just a bag of clothes. And they charge like, I think $1 or $2 per pound.
Okay.
And then you come by, then you pick it up and then you drop it off in the morning, pick it up in the afternoon.
Okay.
So it's fast, it's cheap.
So what is it actually? I mean, this is a little bit different than the robot conversation, but you know, you've been there and I've just been watching a bunch of videos, you know, I don't really know that much about the culture. Like, what are some things when you went to Southeast Asia that you think are, like, just very important that people need to know before they go out there and be like, I'm done with America? You know how TFM's always talking about America is going down.
Oh,
and you need
like,
to
live in America?
Yeah. Like, what are some things that people need to know, like, right from the start when you go out to those places?
Like anywhere that's not first world, I guess I can give you my
anything like that.
It's weird because the standard of living is lower than the first world.
Okay.
But it doesn't feel like you're in poverty.
Hmm.
Like it's really interesting. So I guess I'll have to explain country by country.
Kind of like living in the country in a way where it's like less automated city luxuries, but it's like you're just a rich person out in the boonies?
So, if you go to, like, a third world country and you get, like, I guess maybe this is, like, because if you're a MGTOW, you're probably, like, a minimalist, right? One of the issues I have with America mm-hmm. is that everything needs to be big.
Right.
So, like, they don't rent closet apartments. The smallest apartment you can get, like, if you're in the city, the smallest apartment you can get is like this, like, it is like a one bedroom apartment.
That's what I thought.
And if you want to buy something, the smallest you can get is like a two bedroom apartment, but it'd probably be a three bedroom apartment. And that's if you're in the city. If you're out in the suburbs, the smallest house you can get is like this giant mansion with like a backyard and a front yard and like all this stuff, right? So I guess the advantage of going to the third world is they rent out properties that are just, like, you can just get a room, and then that's a room, and it's super cheap, and it's super small, and it would be considered poverty by American standards. Like, in America, the rooms that they rent in the third world, they would be illegal to rent in America because they would be considered so poverty-ness.
Wow.
But you can get those in the third world, and it doesn't feel like they're in poverty. It just feels like it's a small room, but, hey, I don't have that much stuff anyways, so it's not like...
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, because one thing I was going to do before I moved out was sell a bunch of shit, honestly. You think about all the shit you buy when you're in America and you realize, you know, I don't need probably 75% of this shit. And there's a bunch of shit that I can just sell, make money off of, and take with me, you know, as part of savings to go out there. Now, I know that I've heard that you can be scammed pretty easy out there. Now, I don't know if that's the case, but I know that there's been several people that that talked about being scammed in some of these countries, paying a lot more for, like, a bike. What was it, $200 for a bicycle or, a, you know, what they have as a motorbike over there? Just things like that I've heard. I don't know if you've dealt with any of that.
The longer you stay in a country, the less you're going to get scammed.
Okay.
Yeah, they just scam you because they know that you're new. But, like, after you've been there for a while, you'll figure out how to not get scammed.
Yeah.
Hot take, it's not easier or harder to scam anybody based on location. It's all relative to your knowledge of the area.
I think so. Yeah. I think, yeah. Yeah, you're right on that one.
Yeah, you're right on that.
I mean, I got freezer burn on that take, but okay.
all right. Okay, so, you know, I mean, because that's always one thing I've wanted to do. I've made a couple videos talking about how I might go to either the Philippines or Thailand or something like that. Just explore
something. Well, one of the things that you'll appreciate if you go to a country that is not America, and this is a personal philosophy thing. I think that if you care about the politics, like if you turn on the news and you watch politics and you get emotionally... It evokes an emotional response. I think that means that you've spent too long in that country and that you are now, you feel like you're part of that country.
Right.
Right? So if you go to a third world country or you go to any country that's not America and you see stupid shit happening on the politics, you don't get emotionally distressed over it.
Sure.
Because you know that you can just leave. The exception is America if you live in America. And right. So... But I don't think America should be the exception. I think that you should move around so that if you move around enough, like if you move around, I think that if you live in a country that is, you don't consider your home country, you're not going to get stressed out over politics. And because you know that if they ever fuck with you, you can just leave. And I think that you should move around so much that you don't have a country that you think is your home country.
Wow. That's actually really interesting.
And as someone with an American passport, you have that ability because most countries, like they allow, like it's not hard to be an American and move to another country.
Right.
Like most countries will let you do that if you have an American passport.
Yeah. I mean, a passport's about what? I think it was $200 to $260. That's not really that bad. I mean, that's fairly cheap. So if anybody wants to get one of those, you know, they're not too expensive and it's probably a good thing.
We were talking about the price of a passport.
Yeah, the price of a passport, I looked it up, it was about $260 last time I looked it up.
So this confuses me. If you have, why don't you have a passport? Or like, to anybody who doesn't have a passport, why don't you have one?
Right.
It's like, I've only moved state to state. I've never left the country. Why would I get one?
Right, so that's just something that confuses me. Maybe it's because I travel a fair amount.
Sure.
But, I mean, if you think about it, a passport, it doesn't cost that much. It is your right as an American citizen. And especially if you think that America is great and you're never going to leave America, then yeah, I guess don't get a passport.
Sure.
But if you think that maybe America is like the... Like, if you think that there's even a chance that America is going to go to shit... Why would you not get a passport?
That's true.
Like, do you have a bug out bag? How much does a bug out bag cost?
That's true. That's definitely
true. Right? Like, a bug out bag, when you add it together, it costs a few hundred dollars? I bet you that a passport is going to be cheaper and is going to be more valuable than a bug out bag.
Yeah.
Well, there's different... you've got people who were like, they want to stay in America till the last minute, and they're worried that, oh, well, they're just going to revoke your passport now because of government corruption.
All right, then make them take that extra step.
Yeah, you've got to understand, there's different types of doomers. There's lunatics who are building arcs to, like, go into the ocean when shit can.
And how much do you think they have passports? I feel like they should at least have a passport.
I wonder if they do.
But I guess they don't have passports.
Some of these people did not think logically. I remember when Biden going to office, people were scrambling to the grocery stores buying $1,200 in peanut butter to survive on and all this other crazy shit.
Yeah,
it's not sad.
Not everyone can take your time and think about shit like this.
But maybe this is one of the things that confuses me. I think that we talk about prepping, but it's like, I think your number one prep, the first prep you should do is get a passport. And then,
I mean,
and then
honestly,
start buying preppy shit.
If you're that worried about it, Revy's right.
Yeah.
Like, if you really are in the mode of America's about to get on the fast track to the fucking Fury Road,
right?
It should be on Boogaloo time. Why the fuck do you not have a passport?
That's a very good.
Yeah, you should just, especially if you ever intend to leave the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And really, just aiming to leave ASAP anyways, because
right.
a false flag, whatever attack, could happen overnight anyways. Then what?
I mean, the other thing is, realistically, like, I think the biggest reason Americans don't all have their passports is because ignorance. Like, they
That's
don't
true.
Even think about the thing at all.
That's true. That's very true.
I mean, if you're really worried we're all going to, like, fucking die
because
of government corruption,
yeah,
you, like, leave.
Yeah. Here's a thought. Let's say you do something to piss off the government, right?
Okay.
And then you apply for a passport. They might not give you the passport. But if you already have a passport, and then you piss off the government, it's going to be a lot more work for them to revoke your passport than for them to refuse to give you one in the first place.
You know, I didn't realize. I didn't know that. I thought that they could just automatically be like, okay, you're done. You can't travel. Because that's...
No, you have to commit a pretty serious crime for them to, like, revoke your passport.
Unfortunately,
I mean,
in these times
kind
that
of
we're
is
living
that,
in...
that, but you got to remember, when it comes to all of this shit...
You're kind of... Yeah.
Like, just to scenario. Let's say I piss off the government tomorrow. Right, and they want to take my passport. I've probably got, within a few days before that's going to enter through the systems and do what it's going to do to make that shit invalid? So, like, unless they're so concerned, so unbelievably concerned,
right.
that they have already, like, put whoever, say, what have you on notice to not let me leave the country because flight risk or whatever... Unless that order comes down from on high,
right?
I got time to leave.
That's true.
Now, I would also say, if you're planning to leave, get a fucking reason that makes the mad at you specifically.
Right.
It look like, sounds like you're editing.
Well, yeah,
stuff.
You
like,
have. You're really going
it's not
out.
That hard.
You're really going out on us, Whip. You've been going out a couple of times. I don't know what... That's not normal for you. Normally, your stuff comes in pretty clear.
I was walking around my house. Sorry.
That's okay.
Here we go.
That's okay. But, yeah.
Conclusion. If you're listening to this, get a passport.
Yeah. I think that...
It's also just useful for IDs. Because you go to places and people are like, where's your government ID? And it's helpful to have... Government ID is just useful, right? Like, even if you don't use it to travel, if you're not planning on traveling, sometimes it's like you want to have your driver's license in one place and a passport in another.
I
so when people ask you for your a piece of government ID, you can pull out your passport if you can't find your driver's license.
I do.
Some places they ask for two pieces of government ID.
Oh.
So then a passport and a driver's license is useful. So
okay.
It's also as useful as the ID.
Okay. Because, yeah, I have my government ID. So, yeah, I do.
Which is your driver's license.
Well, I don't drive, but, yeah, I understand what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So what if you apply for, say, a military contractor job? I know that's not a thing.
Right.
But I guess it wasn't for me. When I do military work,
sure.
They tend to have a bit more security, and so it helps for me to have two government IDs when they ask for two government IDs.
Oh, yeah, the military ID, right. I forgot about that because I remember when I had to do
that
with the IRS that they did say you could use a military ID if you had one. Now, you don't have to, okay, When you do work for the military, does that mean, and they give you a military ID, is that the same as being
enlisted? I don't have a military ID.
Oh, you don't have a military ID.
My point is, when you do government work, sometimes they like to ask for lots and lots of IDs.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
And having your passport is like, it's a form of ID, and it's also a form of photo ID. So it's just a very, it checks a lot of boxes.
Right, right.
I guess most people have a driver's license and a social security card. Social security card works, but it doesn't have a photo.
Yeah.
So it's not as useful for as many things.
Okay, that's worth remembering, because I didn't even think about that. Because I don't have my social security card anymore. I do have my government ID, and I do have, a couple other things. But getting a passport, yeah.
All right, well, let's say that someone says, hey, Grim, mm-hmm. This is a job, right? It's either a government job or a military job. You have to be a U.S. citizen
okay.
to work for us.
Okay.
How do you prove that you're a U.S. citizen?
Well, you'd have to first use your government ID, and then I'd have to have a passport that I could present.
Your driver's license doesn't have your place of birth. And also, you don't have to be a citizen to have a driver's license. So your driver's license doesn't count as proof of citizenship.
Right.
But yeah, you're going to need a birth certificate, fam.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to get that. It was burned up in a fire, believe it or not. So, that's...
Yeah. Oh, look at that! You're already one step into faking your death.
Yeah, I know. I know.
He's been dead on the end of the time.
But just get government ideas, they're useful.
Yeah, but I get it. And it's useful information. It's definitely useful information. Because there's a lot of guys, they're getting really kind of worried. You got some guys that are about to just go full on tilt, and you got some guys that are like, I got to get out of here. And I'm to the point where I'm like, yeah, I need to get out of here because the guys that are going full on tilt might cause problems for me. See, one thing, Revy, that's changed...
Wait, you want to leave the country, but you don't have a driver's license?
I don't drive.
But, well, it's not like you can drive. How are you going to leave the country?
Right.
What if you're the only person that's willing to leave?
Well, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that, okay, what I'm saying is, I'm preparing.
No, I understand, and I'm not, shitting on you. I'm saying, here's the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say tomorrow you have to get out of here. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to leave the country.
Oh, yeah.
If you're the only one willing to leave the country, you don't have a buddy to take, you're not leaving without a driver's license. What, are you going to walk to the border?
Walk to the border. No,
see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it ever came to that, I'm pretty sure I could find somebody. I mean, because if I have to be out of the country...
Yeah, but if you couldn't, though... Let's put this way. Our whole thing is predicated on self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
It's not very self-sufficient to not be able to drive yourself.
I can. Yeah, it's a mental condition, so it's... Yeah, it's unfortunate medical condition. So.
And can you ride a motorcycle?
Yeah, I'd probably be able to do that. That's one thing I definitely probably would be able to do. I ride a bike just fine. I could probably ride a motorcycle decently, too. I'd actually prefer
get a motorcycle.
Yeah,
there's your transportation.
Yeah.
Motorcycles are also more mobile than cars, right? Because you got traffic, because you're on a motorcycle, you can go around it.
Yeah.
You can also get, off-road motorcycles, just get off the side of the road. If you if there's traffic or you just don't feel like driving on the road, you can just zee it off the side. Okay. It's a little bit easier in the western states. If you're in the eastern states, you can't really do that. But in the west, mm-hmm. if you see something off the side of the road, it's oh, that looks cool. You can just zee it off the side of the road.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Yeah, that would be my preferred mode of travel.
If it ever got bad enough, you would need some sort of vehicular transportation.
Yeah.
I will say this.
It's not that I can't get in a vehicle. It's that I can't drive well enough to be, safe. I guess you could say. I could drive, but I don't know how, well I do. I guess I wouldn't be so bad.
Motorcycles, they have their own challenges, but you need less spatial awareness if you're on a motorcycle.
I would feel more comfortable on a motorcycle.
Counterintuitive to my logic, but mm-hmm. okay.
A motorcycle requires more skill than a car,
mm-hmm.
but you feel like once you get used to a motorcycle, it's easier to handle than a car because with a car, you can't see around the car.
Sure.
Right? You can't see what you might touch. So you can bump stuff on a car. You can't really bump stuff on a motorcycle because you can, like, put your hand out and touch it, right?
Yeah, I just feel like that same spatial awareness you need for the car, you would also need for the motorcycle.
Nah, here's what you're missing there. Because Revy's 100% correct. Here's why. So here's the thing, right? When it comes to the car versus the motorcycle, the car has more area. So it's one of those things that as you learn to drive, you know the spatial awareness, you gain that instinct over time, right? You don't need as much of that on a motorcycle because it is effectively just you. Like, it might as well be a mild extension of yourself. Because instead of thinking, like, say, you know, anywhere from, like, 15 to 20 square feet, mm-hmm. right? It's like maybe 5.
Right. I got you.
Like, comparatively.
I got you.
I'm also going to introduce another topic.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Yeah. I'm going to introduce another topic. It's kind of getting away from the motorcycle thing, but while we're on the topic of prepping, I'm not sure if I'm the person to invent this or something, but I have a concept called, layered prepping. And so, because most preppers, they just assume shit's going to hit the fan, and they just have a bug-up bag, and they're assuming that, like, the roads are going to be shot, and, everything's fucked.
Yeah, this is a common prepper thing where you have, like, contingency plans, is the term.
Right, but you should have different levels of prepping, where, like, the worst-case prepping is your bug-out bag, but then you have, like, a slightly less worst case, which is, I'm going to drive out on my car or on my motorcycle. And then, because if you just don't have your bug-out bag, that's going to suck. But if you leave in your car, that's going to be slightly less bad. And then the least form of prepping, like, the least form of shit hits the fan. It's like, if you need to get out of the country, like, let's say that, like, stuff is starting to become uncomfortable, but you're not quite at, like, oh my God, like, horrible stuff is going to happen. I'm just going to take a vacation. Like, I'm going to, like, pack my bags and I'm going to book a flight to some random fucking country. I'm going to go take a vacation. And if shit does get bad, I'm just not going to come back from that vacation.
Yeah, that was my plan.
Right. So there's different levels of prepping. And so you need to have a contingency plan for each level of shit hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least the more levels, you should have a contingency. You should have something in between 0 and 100.
Right.
You should have like 5, you might as well just have 100.
Right.
You should have like 20, 40, 60, 100.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much all the things we were talking about, you should have that planned out to varying degrees.
Most people just have 100.
Man.
So when it's time to do 20, they don't execute 20 because they don't have a 20.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. That.
Anything else? There was that question someone had before we got into the hall while we're still on robotics.
Yeah. Basically, my thing is just different viabilities of more toy-getic robots, as I would call them.
Explain. Like
which features we'll talk about.
Like, if I was to do this shit at home, like, how viable would it be to make, like, the cheaper, lighter material ones that are more akin to just animatronics that can just talk and gesture versus the more sophisticated version, say, the one on wheels, but it's like, how strong of a Raspberry Pi would I need to hold its brain?
Right, so what you're saying,
like,
correct me if I'm wrong, is that you're too impatient to wait for the Android, the waifu revolution, and you just want to build this shit.
I want to start the waifu arms race, kind of like how the military did for drones.
Okay.
Where they're like, yeah, here's where we're at on drones. Everyone just throw your hat in the ring. And then 5-10 years, people started building shit, and they're like, hey, I built a bathtub drone. Hey, I built a fucking drone that's the size of my fingertip. And then we built all this crazy shit in between.
Yeah, so, alright, Oshane, I guess the answer would be, it would be a lot easier for me than it would be for you to build, like, So I mentioned that if you were to pay me enough money, like if you were to give, if you were to hire me as an engineer, and give me about for five, and you give me 5 years, and you give me $1 million in a year to pay for my salary and for the salary of a team and for all our materials, I could build this, not like a not working waifu robot. Like I could design that, and then I could sell it for about the price of a Tesla.
Yeah.
So I guess I have the ability to like homebrew that shit.
Yeah, I feel like people want stuff that's like they want.
Nope.
Want it either too intelligent, too strong, too whatever, and it's like, what if I just get like one that's kind of retarded, but it can hobble around, and let someone else want up the idea.
So I could do that.
Too many people are wanting like they are wanting a general artificial intelligence, not just this basic AI most people associate.
I could do that. There's two parts to this. There's the if you wanted to build it from scratch, I think there have been people that have attempted to build robots from scratch, and they get pretty far. I could probably do that because I am like a robotics engineer. If you were to try to do that, I think you'd have a bit less success. I guess you would be reliant on someone like me to design an open source robot and give, make instructions. And then you could build something according to my design and then modify it to your liking.
I'm good with general structural engineering type stuff when it comes to making just physical stuff that works. With me, it's the hardware specs and the software specs that would lose me.
Okay. So, do you have a 3D printer?
Yes, and.
Okay, and you know how to design stuff for your 3D printer?
No.
All right.
Yeah, you're going to have a bad time.
I'm the type of person who would go and hand-carve the damn thing and then make a vacuum form and take, like, ABS and make a fucking plastic shell.
Yeah, you want to learn how to CAD stuff. If you're going to make something as complicated as that, you need to learn how to CAD. I think you'll enjoy it. If you enjoy hand-carving stuff, you enjoy making stuff with your hands, designing stuff on a computer and then 3D printing it, I think it's something you'll enjoy, and it's a very employable skill.
Yes.
Where I'm going with this is that I have a lot of ideas, and I don't have enough time to execute on all of those. So if you want to build a waifu robot, I think you should contact me offline, and I'll give you instructions and everything you... Like, I'll hold your hand if you're willing to do the work. And you can basically do this thing because I don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see that. I'm for that. If you...
I've, like, got a few alternates. I had another idea for a more Navi-inspired one that was, like, a drone with a little voice box.
Just...
But, like, all its limbs could function as, like, a hand to pick up an object.
Navi robot?
You know, like the fairy from Zelda. So it'd, like, float over your shoulder.
Oh, like a drone.
And, like... Yeah, it'd
like
be,
a
like,
flying
fairy... Drone, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying as shit because that's going to be loud as shit and it's going to be have a battery of life of like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought myself.
Don't make flying shit.
It also depends on like the scale of these things, does it not? Like, I've noticed that a lot of these robots are either super tiny toy sizes from like...
Have you ever found a quadcopter that wasn't loud as shit?
That's a good point.
A what that isn't as loud as shit?
A quadcopter that isn't loud as shit.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's gonna be...
Alright, so... Like, you're not... Yeah, don't make flying shit. Alright?
Yeah, that's
Look, contact me offline, you know my... Do you have my email?
You can DM him or I'll give it to him, whatever, however we're going to do this.
Yeah.
But I need your... Okay, right. I'm switching the whole topic real quick. If we're done with this, I do have something, and I think...
Right. Before this, revy@home@gmail.com. If you contact me telling me what you want to build, I'll give you instructions on how to build it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's revy@home@gmail.com. Just saying
okay,
that.
But I've done a decent body of research. string together based on existing technology that people already put work into.
Now, yeah, he's done some work. I can attest that he has been working on some things, and you follow a lot of stuff, so you are, you know, very intuitive when it comes to that. I think it would be great. It'd be good education for you, too, on how to build one of these things. You might actually make something pretty cool. So, yeah, if you're willing to do it, I'd like to see it happen. But, Revy, while you're here, I definitely want to know, because everybody in the world is talking about it, what are your thoughts on the whole ChatGPT situation? Like, what do you honestly think about all this ChatGPT? I'm talking about the art, the music, the voices, everything that we've been able to have this program do. What do you think about all this? Because people are like, oh, it's going to revolutionize everything, or people are going to lose their jobs. And what do you think about all this?
It's definitely advancing at a pretty fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to replace the low IQ stuff first.
Okay.
Like, I'm sorry for... I think so. Remember how... you know how Sandman was like, oh, this ChatGPT thing is going to replace... It's going to give you the ability to, like, respond to, like, flirting stuff?
Yeah.
Right? So here's the interesting thing about flirting stuff. I think that would be a good application of ChatGPT. Because when you're flirting with people, you don't really think much. You just kind of send, like, pretty textbook responses. And the idea is you send a response. If you send a response, it tells the other person that you're interested. And then if they send you another response, they're interested more. You respond back and forth enough times, and then eventually it leads to a date or whatever, right?
Sure.
But it's generally not a pretty high IQ thing. You don't have to problem solve or, like, logic or anything. It's just chatting, right?
Right.
So I think that would be a pretty good, like, if you're, like, mindlessly chatting, I think that's a good application of ChatGPT.
Hmm. Now, what do you think go ahead.
Yeah. That's a pretty good application of ChatGPT. What else have I used ChatGPT for? I've tried using it to write papers.
Oh.
That didn't work so well because, I don't want to say that ChatGPT is. When you're writing like research papers and like engineering papers, like that's a whole another level of thing that ChatGPT didn't work for. I tried to be a lazy fuck and use ChatGPT for that, but that didn't work, unfortunately. I'm kind of salty about that.
Okay. Well, with ChatGPT, another thing, like I know this one guy, he built his own like augmented reality waifu thing where it was both ChatGPT as he would talk to it. And of course it would also have an image thing and it would show him an image based on something like, basically he'll ask, hey, do you want to go to Burger King? And the ChatGPT waifu would go in there and say, oh, Burger King? And it would show a picture of the character and the burgers and it would say, oh no, we don't want to go there. It was bad last time we went. And the guy got really, really involved in this thing. There's actually an article. I don't know if you saw the show when I did that. But the guy got so involved with it that eventually the program couldn't hold what he was creating. It had only so much before it just started freaking out. Like, it started glitching and bugging up. And he had to kill it. And this guy was a married man. And believe it or not, he was spending more time with the ChatGPT waifu that he had created than his own wife. And he mourned the waifu when it died. Like, he literally got very sad and grieved it because it was something that was always there and he's always talking to it. And this is just the first step of ChatGPT. So if we can really create this kind of stuff, and there's one guy that, again, he says he's going to make another one. But if there's one guy that's that dedicated, sky's the limit as far as a virtual or augmented reality waifu goes.
Yeah, I mean, if you notice, he's not trying to use ChatGPT to solve a problem, right? He's just...
Right.
He's not trying to use ChatGPT to solve a problem. He's just chatting with it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it also right. remembers his responses, whatever he's programmed this thing, but it was very, very lifelike. And it even spoke. It even had a voice. So...
yeah, if you just want to bullshit with ChatGPT, you can do that.
The only thing I don't like about ChatGPT is ChatGPT, unless you use the filters, that you know, the special filters, that or the unfilters, I guess you could say. There's a lot of things that ChatGPT can't say and do. There's a lot of information about ChatGPT that it says, I'm sorry, you can't, I won't do this because this isn't right, or, you know, something like that. It has a lot of what you would consider really biased moral judgments. For instance, say, all right, let's just be fair. I don't care about what president you like or don't like or whatever, but there's one thing it'll do. Like I say, hey, I want to write a song about how bad this president was. Okay, it'll do that for that president. But then when I use a different president, it'll say, I'm sorry, this president I can't do because this president is working really hard and doing his best. But then I'll go back a couple years and I'll say, well, do a bad song about this president, and it'll write me one. So instead of it being truly unbiased, where it's like, okay, you've told me to write a bad song about the president, whatever the president did, but it's not doing that. It's like, well, I can only do it based on this one or this one because I morally don't feel that that president was as bad as that one. And that's really a problem. And I'm talking about any kind of situation. It's biased on, you know, just anything. And I think that's an issue that they really need to fix. Yes, of course, there are a lot of forks that people are creating to kind of override the security, or the, not the security, but the nanny bot. But I don't think the nanny bot needs to be there in the first place. Like, I don't know what you feel about that as a robotics engineer, but I don't really think they need to have censorship on that thing.
So, you can hear me. I think TFM went over this. There's two parts of the AI. There's the backbone of the AI, which is a logic base. Mm-hmm. And then there's its training data set, which is it's the data that it's learned on. generally speaking, you can... generally speaking, if you can get access to the back-end AI, and then you can teach it whatever you want,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you have your own AI.
Well, my issue with that, though, is yes, you can do that with Linux and a bunch of other programs. I've looked it up. I've had a fair amount of difficulty, but I've at least been, you know, trying it.
You've attempted it.
Yes, but
which you should, because it's free.
Yeah, yeah. But what I am saying is the problem is that a lot of the... Now, I'm not 100% sure, but I know that a lot of corporations or businesses that are using ChatGPT, they're not allowing their employees or anyone else to access the unfiltered version. They're using the biased version, which I think could be very bad for businesses. Now, that depends on somebody's personal business. If they want to shoot themselves in the foot, that's fine. But, I don't like that the commercial version of ChatGPT, or the one that most people are using, is biased, because that's also teaching an internal bias to people, like in this country or in other countries, that, because I can't say this, maybe it's... And of course, ChatGPT will tell you, well, maybe you shouldn't say things like that. Maybe we shouldn't view things like that.
You should know ChatGPT is woke, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. That's what you get for using ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's true.
It's like you go on like, I don't know, like Twitter. Not Twitter. No, Twitter's actually, it's Elon Musk now. I don't know. You go on Tumblr. And then, you get what I'm saying? It's like, why are you on Tumblr?
Right. Right.
Right? Well, why are you on ChatGPT?
That makes sense.
Now, for better or for worse, it appears that the most advanced AI is controlled by progressives.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Which I guess that sucks for anybody that's not a progressive.
Mm-hmm.
But well, we're at a very narrow point in time that, yes, the most advanced AI just happens to be a progressive AI. It won't be very long before either ChatGPT is leaked or reverse engineered or whatever. And somebody's going to release a not woke version of ChatGPT, and I'm sure the progressives will do their best to make sure that the progressive version of ChatGPT will be more advanced
Yes.
Than the unwoke version, but there's only so much work, only so much they can do to stay ahead of the open source version of ChatGPT, I guess.
Hmm. Okay.
Right. Well, so there's other forms, there's other AIs out there that are, they're not quite as good as ChatGPT, but they're not woke.
Right.
And so if you're fine with having that drop in IQ, effectively, in exchange for it being not woke, then go use the other ones.
Well, I mean, you can name some of those if you know some that might, you know, because
I don't because I don't use them.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
But I'm sure they exist.
Oh, yeah. I know of one.
I haven't used ChatGPT. I have used, Kajiwoto. Right, Kajiwoto is great.
Yeah.
If you're just bullshitting, right. I use AI for doing very specific things, like I don't know, but like I've never used ChatGPT, and because I've never had a need for ChatGPT.
Sure.
I guess. I can definitely see a use case for ChatGPT for people with like lower IQs.
Okay.
Than me. I'm not sure that how you feel about that.
Hey, that's fair.
But there's a certain aspect of like, have you seen, there's that Family Guy episode where Stewie makes Bitch Stewie,
mm-hmm.
and Bitch Stewie has like a couple IQ points lower than Stewie?
Right.
More than a couple.
And then Stewie was too lazy to make Brian a Bitch Brian, so he got Bitch Stewie to make Bitch Brian, and then Bitch Brian was a couple IQ points below Bitch Stewie.
Goodbye, everybody. It just sounds goofy.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is ChatGPT is basically bitch me.
Oh, I gotcha.
So I can see, like, it would be useless for me because it's not, like, there isn't anything that ChatGPT can do that I can do better. But I can see someone with a significantly lower IQ than myself thinking that ChatGPT is smart.
Right.
It doesn't have consciousness either. So that's
well, yeah, but see, one thing that was interesting is there must be a lot of really dumb people then, because there's a lot of people that seem to think that ChatGPT is intelligent when actually all that's going on is that it's just emulating intelligence. It's making you think it knows what it's talking about, but it actually doesn't.
I mean, it's certainly got a very powerful search engine.
Yeah.
Right? But
yeah.
I wouldn't use ChatGPT as a search engine because I can just use a search engine as a search engine.
Now, to be fair, I know there's a lot of great artists out there, but I like the art. I've been doing. I've had a lot of the art used on my show, and I mean, I had an artist, and as soon as I believe another YouTuber's stuff, he pretty much just said he didn't want to do it anymore. The guy that was working with him was working with me also, and then he said, well, you know, since so-and-so's not doing it anymore, I'm not going to do anything for you anymore. And I was like, well, that sucks. So I went on Twitter, and I asked for somebody to basically do something in that guy's style. And they charged me about 3 or 4 times what he charged, and it wasn't done as well. So I said, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And I've currently been using a program, and it's just been getting better. Stable Diffusion. And it's just been getting better. My art's becoming a lot better, and I've been...
Quick, going back a step. If you think that ChatGPT is smart, you basically think that Bitch Me is smart. Like, that's how stupid you are. All right, anyway. Stable Diffusion is great. Unfortunately, I don't have a gaming computer because I don't game.
Yeah.
And my computer is powerful enough to run, I use it to, like, do CAD work, but I don't use it to, like, game. And so it doesn't make a very great Stable Diffusion. So I tried my hand at Stable Diffusion, but I didn't get very far with it. But it's super fun.
Oh,
well, you know, you make your own hentai. It's great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
You press a button, you make a bunch of hentai. You find one that you like, you Photoshop a weird extra finger out, and then you throw it back and cheat it to ChatGPT.
Wow.
I just remembered what I thought ChatGPT was like. Or not ChatGPT. ChatGPT is, if you want to chat with something, then yeah, ChatGPT is great, or Kajiwoto is great. Apparently Kajiwoto's got it way better. So chatbot is great. Okay. If you want to do research, that doesn't quite work. If you want to draw pictures, drawing pictures is a lot of work.
Yes. And so, oh my God, it is.
The AI can't draw a better picture than a human can, but it can, or I don't say the human can. A ChatGPT can't draw, or like the AI can't draw a better, Stable Diffusion can't draw a better picture than anything that's already out there.
Yeah.
But it can draw pictures very easily that are almost as good as what's out there, but and do it very easily.
Right.
My personal take is that like the best use of it would be to get your settings dialed in how they should be to get as good as it can, and then once it creates a picture, what you could go in and do from there is just edit yourself to be the extra however much percent you need to get to 100% of what you
need. Using Photoshop, that's exactly what
now,
you should do.
My only issue with this is that I don't think most people are even mildly willing to work quote unquote hard to do that, because I wouldn't consider that hard work. I'd consider that smart work.
Well,
I mean setting it up is a bit of a pain in the ass.
For me, yeah, because I don't really, I'm not, see, DP, he knows all about Photoshop.
Oh, yeah.
But me, I don't.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, Revy, what I use it for is stuff for my show or if I need a quick thumbnail. Like, I said, well, I need a thumbnail like that's this happening here. So, boom, there we go. It's really easy.
You can
easy.
Always use GIMP. It's a free service. It's not as good as Photoshop, but it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I use.
Okay.
Because I'm too cheap to pay for Photoshop.
Photoshop.
But yeah, no, that's a great application for Stable Diffusion. I just realized what Stable Diffusion is like. So when I design electronics, when you're making electronics, you have to basically connect a whole bunch of wires and you have to lay everything out on the PCB, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you ever rip apart a piece of electronics and you open it up and you see the green thing inside, right? That's all the circuits. You have to design that. Like, somebody has to design that. And so there's a tool when you're doing this work. It's called an auto router that basically connects all the wires for you. And it turns normally what is like a one-week job into like a few minutes. And so what I do when I design electronics is I will hook up a few wires that I know are important. And anything that's not important, I just hit the auto route button and it just routes everything for me. And it's great. It saves me a lot of time. It obviously can't route as good as I can, but it can certainly do a week's worth of work in like a few seconds, or actually a few minutes. It's almost as good as I would do, and so I don't complain. I guess that's what you're using Stable Diffusion is for. But this auto-routing technology has been out for at least a decade.
Oh, yeah.
I've been using it for a decade. It's been working for me for at least a decade.
Yeah. I haven't been looking for that long. Now, I'm using a service that I do pay for, but I mean, the thing is that the service is so cheap, it doesn't bother me. Like, you get, 1,000 pictures for $10? And usually just, type it in, and it's not really a big deal. I'm like, okay, because this is what I need. And sometimes I just do fun things because it's not really costing me anything. Like, $10 for 1,000 images? It takes a long time to really get 1,000 images, and you know.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I just realized. So you know how there's that, what is it called, image stock?
Yeah.
There's that thing where you pay for stock images, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember Sandman pays for those things, and he gets like pictures of hot girls and shit.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Stable Diffusion will wreck that industry.
Yeah. Well, see, they're buying them. They're actually buying them. That's what I've heard. I've heard that all these places are actually buying images from people. They're buying images for image stock in all those places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I can see Stable Diffusion going up to image stock and being like, all right, we're going to buy you for this much money.
Yeah.
And if you don't accept us, we're just going to like beat the shit out of you.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly what it'll do. And
that's true. And
see, you know, I get it. I understand there's a lot of these artists that are upset because it can in some ways replicate their art to an extent. But here's my, like, honestly, here's my thing. Like, if you're a good enough artist, you shouldn't be afraid of you shouldn't be afraid of Stable Diffusion. I think if you're a good enough artist and you're good enough in your craft, you know, you shouldn't be worried. And of course, it's like you said, only the low IQ or the people that aren't that good are going to be wiped out by AI. If you're not good at your craft, AI is going to pretty much wipe you out. I mean, it's going to make you obsolete. So you have to work on your craft, and it should make people want to get better.
Well, yeah.
It should say, well, you know, if it can do this, well, I need to do what it can't do. Or I need to work, you know, try something else. Try other effects. See, there's actually a lot of people that are using Stable Diffusion and Midjourney and stuff like that with Photoshop and all this. They've made T-shirts. They've sold T-shirts. I mean, what you make on those programs is yours. So you can actually do whatever you want with that stuff. If you want to sell it to somebody and make money, people have been doing that, like I said. There's a lot of ways to make passive income with this thing. Now, yes, there's a lot of bullshit YouTube stuff that's just as bad as the PUA crap. Oh, if you do this, you'll make all this money. It's probably not like that, but you can definitely make some money if you, you know, think about it and find out who needs what.
I guess if you're worried about being outcompeted by, like, AI, there's a bunch of different ways that can go. Like, for me, what I just talked about using we'll call it an artificial intelligence tool to route my electronics for me, to do a lot of the electronics routing work. And you can see that as one of different ways. Because of this technology, it's known that particular... So for me, I love that technology because I hate routing. It's such a mind-numbing task. And this program just does it for me, and it's great.
Wow.
I'm still a better designer than most people because, well, number one, because I know how to use this tool, whereas other engineers don't know how to use this tool, I can do work faster, and so I can charge less money. Or I can spend more time on the things that matter.
Sure.
Right? So it makes me a better engineer. And also, even if somebody that was another engineer that was less skilled than me, if they tried to compete with me, the quality that this AI puts out is directly proportional with your skill as a designer. Hmm. So the way I see it, the analogy I make is if you make good, if you're a furniture crafter, right? If you're a woodworker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can make a good piece of furniture using hand tools, you can make a good piece of furniture quickly using power tools. But if you're a shit woodsmith or a woodworker and you make shit furniture using hand tools, if you get a power tool, you're just going to make shit furniture faster.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Right? And this AI tool is kind of like, for me, this AI tool is kind of like that in the sense that I'm already a good PCB designer, and I can route by hand if I need to.
Sure.
But if I use the auto router, I can route good PCBs quickly. But then I can see other people that aren't as skilled as me. They'll just rely on the auto router, and the auto router do all sorts of stupid shit. And I'll be like, this is stupid. This is bad routing. Because I look at it, I'm like, this is bad routing. But if you were to take that person and not give them an auto router, they would still be bad routing because they don't know what's good routing in the first place. So it's not like they route... Shit, they did shit job routing, and they just do a shit job routing faster.
Yeah, it makes sense because, you know, when I was designing my stuff for my show, you know, I always do a bunch of the little thumbnails that you see on my videos. You know, it took me a lot of work to figure out exactly what I wanted. I had an old prompt, and then I had to continually edit that, and then edit that again, and then edit it till I finally get exactly what I want. It's not something that you just, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's easy. No, it takes time because... You know, it'll put out whatever you give it, but you have to be extremely exact in what you give it. Because if not, it's one of those programs that if you say, you know, I want this, and it's like, and then you're like, hold on, what is that? And then the thing actually tells you, like, the thing will actually say, well, this is what I thought you meant. See, there was one thing where I had an artist, like a music artist, and he said, everybody take my hand. And I was like, well, what would that actually look like if everybody in the world was trying to grab this guy's hand? Well, ChatGPT was trying, not, excuse me, Stable Diffusion was trying to figure out, how could I best capture this? So they what it finally comes up with is the artist in the middle of an audience, and there's a bunch of people holding their arms out. And that's as close as it could get to everybody in the audience actually being close to that guy or taking his hand. That's what the Stable Diffusion figured out. So it actually solves the puzzle of what I want. And sometimes it's not exactly what I wanted or what I thought it was going to do, but it's great. There's been a lot of times where I'm like, oh my God, it's what Bob Ross called a happy accident. I've had a lot of happy accidents with that program. And it's fun. You can waste a lot of time on there. So, folks, I definitely got to tell you, if you're going to get on there and say, oh, I'm going to make a few things, be ready to be on there for an hour or so. I remember one time at 6 o'clock in the morning, I was just like, man, I just got to keep making stuff, though, because it was just making awesome things.
That's fun.
But, all right. Well, I think that's pretty much all we had to say. Thanks for being on again, Revy. And, yeah, you're definitely welcome anytime. Sorry, we meant to do it a little earlier, but, you know, things happen. We'll try to work that out again. I'm glad everybody got their robot questions asked, and I guess I might even tag Sandman in this, because yes, I can find him on social media. But I kind of want, again, I kind of want people to realize that, yes, this kind of technology is a thing that can happen, but Sandman is just going a little bit too far with saying, oh, you're going to have this loving Blade Runner waifu that's going to jump into your arms and completely just... It's just a little...
Well, think of how where we are right now.
Yeah.
It's a ways away.
It's a little too crazy. But at any rate, I'm going to go on ahead and head off. And this is the Grim Lord, Dead Penetration, yeah, and Revy. And we will see you next time on Grim Interviews.
Later.
All right. I am out, guys. Thanks.